Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Morgan, Ulysses Morgan, Jr., and I am here today to give you the Word of God. I am delighted to be here with you on this wonderful radio station. We thank God for you tuning in with us on today, and I'm sure that there is a word from the Lord, amen, for you. We are so delighted and so happy. It's a pleasure as well as a privilege to be able to come into your homes, your radio, your car, wherever you may be listening to this radio broadcast, even on the internet. We thank God for you, amen, and we hope that we inspire you and give you something, and I believe that it's going to happen. One of the reasons is because I do not believe in coincidence. So I thank God, amen, that we are able to come on this air, come on the air here at this radio station to bring you a word from the Lord as he has given it to me. Glory to God, as he has given it to me. And so we are engaged to bring you a solid word, amen. And this is what is needed today. One of the things that many people who know me understand that, glory to God, I am very cautious about delivering the Word of God because it is life to many people, and you can deal life in the wrong way. And so I'm very cautious about it, amen, because I want people, when they hear this, to gain life, amen, and not get a false sense of delivery or deliverance. Amen. So we are here today to engage in that. So we're going to get ready to go into our broadcast. I will give you our mailing address, P.O. Box 492 here in Fort Beale, Georgia. That's 31010. And I know many of you hear it. Some of you have been listening, amen, every Monday that you can, and you haven't written anything yet. But you have to understand, which is what we're going to be talking about next week without leaving, that what you do comes back with you, amen, whether positive or negative. You've got to understand that. So there's going to be a time when you're going to be asking people to respond to you, and according to how you respond is according to how they will respond to you. This is what is so prevalent today that I see in churches, glory to God. You cannot become a leader or a pastor with so many try to be in the church, and you're not submitted to the pastor that you're under. Glory to God. You have to understand that principle. I don't care what kind of man he is. He can be like Saul or he can be like David. It doesn't matter. You have to submit to it, and you have to him, and you have to understand that even if he's a Saul, King Saul, glory to God, that there is a way, a respectable way, amen, to separate yourself. So you have to understand these principles if you want to get ahead with the Lord. And many of you right now, you've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been reading, you've been listening to preachers. You've just been trying to gain every avenue of spirituality that you possibly can. And it's good that you seek God, seek him while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. But one of the things that you must understand that God deals with his people through his prophets, through his ministers, through his apostles, amen, evangelists and teachers, amen, his pastors as well. And this is what we must understand, because most of us, we want a direct word from the Lord. And if we could get a direct word from the Lord, it would be as to who your anointed person is that you should listen to, amen, and God will bring you that word. If he gave you what he was supposed to give to the pastor, then he would not have any need of it. And we can't make God look like that. He is a God that is not intelligent. God is an intelligent God. And he puts things in order, priority, in order. He has a rule. He has an order. And you have to do things in order, or else you will be, how can I say it, beating your head against the wall trying to make things happen when it's not necessary, when it is his good pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Glory to God. So this is where we're at, and I really wanted to get into what we got into last night, but I'll do that next week because I know that we're all geared up for this particular session here, and I want to bring it, and the topic of it is to release it, and this is going to be the end of this particular topic that I'm going to talk about coming from Exodus, the second chapter. Amen. And we are going to expound upon that once again and give you an understanding, hopefully, that you will receive of what God is getting ready to do in your life. In your life. This is what the Word of God is here for. God, nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that is has been. And God is just bringing it right back around. So this is why we read as to what has happened to our forefathers and those prophets of old and those people that lived back in the Bible days, and it's coming around again because the principles of God never changes. Remember that. The principle of God never changes. So what you read in the Word of God, what you read concerning a man, Paul, and concerning Mary and Martha, concerning Lazarus, concerning the man in the tombs, concerning the rich young ruler, concerning David, concerning the prophets of old, all of them, what you read, it may be a difference in the action of it, but the principles are applied the same way today as it was back then. Glory to God. And this is what we must understand. So let us get involved here now into this particular topic. Amen. And I'm coming from Exodus, the second chapter. And I know I had Genesis, the second chapter, but I'm in Exodus, the second chapter. But we're going to read it. I'm going to start at the first verse here, and we're going to read down. And we're going to talk about Moses again. We're going to talk about Moses' lifestyle. We're going to talk about the plan that Moses had. That God gave for Moses, the plan that was already in place, the plan, oh my God, I can't stress that enough, the plan that God had already purposed and in place for Moses. God's got a plan that he has already purposed and in place for you. You've got to make sure that you're operating in the plan that he has already orchestrated. Don't make a plan. Don't get your own thing together. The enemy will cause you to want to get sometimes so anxious that you just want to go out and do what you feel like doing because you've dreamed it and all this. You've got to know God's will. There was the sons of Eli, the priests, who went into the house of God to light incense, which was only good for the high priest to do. And they were not supposed to do it, but they just got an unction that they had to start to go ahead on and do something that was not called for them to do, and they got in trouble. They lost their lives because they went ahead and did something that God did not ordain them to do. We have to understand these things, glory to God, so that we can get ahead. With the prayer, it's not hard, but we have a transgressor's heart. There are many of you that's listening to me right now. God is getting ready to miraculously bless you. He has a plan for you. Amen. And that plan should have been orchestrated last year. But what we have to do is get in line with what he has already planned for us and then watch the blessings come. Let me read Exodus, the second chapter, first verse. And there was a man of the house of Levi, who took a wife, the daughter of the Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, that she hid him 3 months. Now, what we must understand again is that she hid her baby child, and we know that he was at least 3 months old, if not older, but she hid him because Pharaoh had put out a decree to kill all the male-born children because he was afraid that they will increase in numbers, the Hebrews would increase in numbers, and that when there was a war of anything breaking out against the Egyptians, that the Hebrew would join forces with their enemies and take over. he saw the blessings of God upon the Hebrew children. Amen. Upon Israel. He saw the blessings upon the people in whom he had enslaved. Now, one of the main things you've got to understand is that these people are in slavery. They are slaves to the Egyptians. They are slaves to Pharaoh. They were working for no salary. Amen. They had a taskmaster over them. But the Bible declares that even in the midst of their trauma, even in the midst of their dilemma, even in the midst of their affliction, even in the midst of it, glory to God, that God was blessing them. The Bible said the more that Pharaoh tried to afflict them, the more they increased. The more they increase, and the more the enemy tries to afflict you, you've got to understand that the more, amen, God is going to increase you. And this is what I've often said concerning Satan, is that, amen, how ignorant can you be, amen? And I thought about it because you got kicked out of heaven, so I can understand where your mindset is at, and you still don't have any sense, because the very thing that you are trying to keep the people of God from, you're actually ushering them into it. Amen. If the devil had, you know, I feel if he had left me alone and just let me live a comfortable life, then I wouldn't have had any need to pray. I wouldn't have had any need to call on God. I wouldn't have had any need to want God to help me. But the very thing that he was trying to keep me from, he ushered me into. Glory to God. And that's the same principle that applies with your enemies. Somebody that's listening to me right now, you are going through a lot. Your neighbors, your coworkers, glory to God, your family, they're coming against you, amen, and it bothers you, it hurts you, because all you have is love for them. Glory to God. But the thing is that the very thing that they're trying to keep you from, you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be afraid of not being blessed. You don't have to be afraid that they're going to take things from you. You don't have to be afraid that they're going to afflict you, because if you keep your mindset on God, if you keep your hands, amen, held up in praise, if you look to the hills from which cometh your help, I'm here to tell you, amen, they don't understand that they are actually ushering you into your destiny, into what God wants you to be and what he wants you to have. And this is what Pharaoh did here, and he didn't even know that what he was trying to stop the children of Israel from doing, he ended up instigating it and causing it to multiply even greater. The Bible said the more he afflicted them to keep them from having children, the more they had them, the more they increased. So he puts out another decree that's going to cause the blessings to come into the family of God. He says, now kill every son that is born, glory to God, to keep the male seed from causing multiplication in the nationality of Israel. He said, kill them. Glory to God. And so this woman here who's just had a baby, as the Hebrew ladies were, they refused to destroy their babies themselves, as commanded them. So Pharaoh commanded the army to come and do it. She hid her child 3 months. And the third verse says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him, and she took for him an ark of bulrush, and dapped it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid in the flags by the river bank. She laid it in the flags by the river bank. He didn't float down the river. She laid him close to the river banks, amen, and had the bushes to hold him there, and she put him in a makeshift ark made of twine and twigs and vines, And she dabbed it with slime to keep the water from coming in. Amen. And what happened was Moses' sister, fourth verse, stood afar off and witnessed all that was being done. She saw her mother put him in there. She saw what she did. Amen. And her, not any mother that loves a child, amen, would feel very bad in having to hide their child outside, not knowing what may become of them. Glory to God. Not knowing what may happen to them, but she, being a Levite, knowing God, had her son, and she realized one of the things that she had to do, amen, in order to save her child, she's got to release him into God's hand. There are certain things that you've got to release. You've got to let go. You've got to turn it loose. You're holding on to it to save it, and you're actually killing it. You're actually causing death. Amen. There are certain things you got to release in your spirit. You got to release in your mind. It doesn't matter, amen, what you've done before, you feel like you can't be forgiven. You've got to release it. There are other people who you need to forgive. You've got to release it. They've done you wrong. They've hurt you. Amen. You've got to release it. You've got to let it go. Amen. She was not going to save her child holding on to him. Amen. And she had to release something that came from her. This child came from her loins. She was a mother, and she had to release her child outside by the river banks. Glory to God. And go back in the house. Moses' sister, the child's sister, watched what happened, amen, as she was doing it. Skip verse says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, this was very amazing to me because Pharaoh's daughter, remember who Pharaoh's daughter is. What is her title? She's a princess. Now, my question to you is, what is a princess doing coming to the river to take a bath? Normally, a princess has water brought to her in her chambers and have maids to wash her. But this particular princess came down to the river. It's what the Bible says. And her maids, amen, she came down to wash, to take a bath. The princess. God is in the middle of this. God has touched a princess, Pharaoh's daughter, who is used to having maiden servants, who can have water brought to her chambers to take a bath right where she is. Yet he touches her in her heart to come down to the river at this time, at this particular time, to take a bath. Glory to God. Oh, this is never heard of, but when God is in the midst of something, he knows how to orchestrate it. God is touching somebody right now on your behalf to come to your aid, to come to your rescue. You've got to believe that. Oh, yes, I've seen it happen so many times in my life. And it's happening, amen, in your life. You can't see it. Moses' mother, amen, did not see what God was doing, but the plan was already orchestrated. He did not tell Pharaoh's mother that the princess of the daughter of Pharaoh, the princess of Egypt, was going to receive her child. He didn't tell her. She did not know what would be of her child, but she believed God. God doesn't tell you details of everything that he's going to do. He wants you to understand that if his word is out there, all you have to do is depend on it. Because he's a God that he cannot lie. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Listen, sixth verse, and when she had opened it, amen. Well, let's back up to the five. We find out that and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. She sent her maid. She saw it, visualized it, as much as Moses' mother tried to hide it. But this is, look at God working. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. The baby was crying. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. She had compassion. God touched Moses, the little baby, to cry at the right time. And the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter was upon him because he wept. My goodness. Then said the daughter, sister of Pharaoh, okay, then said his sister, I'm sorry, to Pharaoh's daughter, seventh verse, shall I go and call one of the nurses of the Hebrews, one women, that they may nurse the child for thee? Okay. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. This has to be Miriam we're talking about. As the baby wept, God now is touching Pharaoh's daughter with compassion, compassion, compassion. I've seen it work. Somebody's going to see you one day and have compassion, and you're not going to even know why they're doing it. They're going to come to your aid, your rescue. It may even be your enemies. But she had compassion on the child, and as Miriam is standing there watching this thing unfold, glory to God, she came to Pharaoh's daughter as she was, as indicated, that I see a part of the entourage of the princess, came to her knowing that she was having compassion on her baby brother and said, this is a man, as the princess said, one of the Hebrew children. She knew the decree that was out. She knew they were supposed to be dead, but God touched her not to turn this child in to be killed, but to have compassion. And Miriam said, well, since you know this is one of the Hebrew children, shall I go and call one of these Hebrew women to come and nurse this child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. Amen. And she went and got Moses' mother. Now, my question would be to you at this point is, what is Moses' mother doing at this time? She has no idea what is unfolding. Just like you're sitting there listening to me right now, and you have no idea what is unfolding in your life right now. You have no idea what God is working out on your behalf right now, even as you are listening to me speak. There is a plan that God has for you, and yes, I may not see you, I may not know your name, but I am talking to you because I know you're listening to me, and I'm here to tell you because the Spirit of God has confirmed this, amen, that you're there, and that is that there God is unfolding a blessing, a miracle for you right now, and you know nothing about it. It's happening for you. Glory to God. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Amen, amen. Moses' mother is sitting there wondering what's going to happen with the child. She released it and put him, amen, in God's hands. And God did not let her down because, listen, he didn't have to orchestrate nothing after she released it. He had it already planned. But he couldn't go any further with Pharaoh's daughter, with touching her heart, with getting her to come to the river. Amen. With Moses' sister, he couldn't do all that until she released the child. First things first. We want to see what God's going to do before we let certain things go. God said, no, I can't move in this area until you move in this area. You have to move. I've already got it planned. Amen. But I need for you to take the initiative. Glory to God. And she's sitting there, and now her daughter Miriam comes to the door, knocks on the door, and tells her mother, amen, the princess of Pharaoh has found my brother and your son. And she is taking compassion upon him, and she wants to keep him, and she wants one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse him. And I told her about you. and she wants you to nurse the child, nurse your own child, amen, and raise him up because she has now claimed him for her own. And Moses' mother, I can imagine, eyes was so elated. Her spirit was so overjoyed because now, glory to God, she sees what God was doing while she was at home praying. Ah, yes, this is how God works. And she brings the child, and no doubt in my mind that Moses' mother met the Pharaoh's daughter personally, as she gave her, amen, command to take care of the child and to nurse him. And she did not even know that this was the woman's child. Pharaoh's daughter doesn't serve God. She didn't serve God. She didn't know God. She didn't pray to God. Amen. Amen. She didn't believe God. But God used her to get his plan across. I don't care who it is. There's some people who may not serve God, want God, no, but God will use them to come to your aid. To come to your aid. Amen. God will use them to bless you. God will use them to build you up. Amen. Don't count your enemies out, as I've often heard and you may have often heard. Thank them for what God is doing with them on your behalf. When we get serious with this thing, we can see it. Glory to God. And so Moses' mother is elated, and she's overjoyed. And now she is taking care of the child with no fear whatsoever of anybody coming to destroy him, because the word must have gotten out by Pharaoh's daughter, that this Hebrew woman is nursing a child that I found, and I have claimed him for my son, so do not destroy him. God used the enemy in the midst of slavery to come in and be a blessing, because there is a plan that he has. And now she's nursing the child and brought him up. Amen, and taking care of our own child. And notice this. Now, look what happened. At ninth verse, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the mother took the child and nursed it. Glory to God. Not only do I want you, I'm just going to put it in perspective. Not only do I want you to nurse your own child that I don't know about, I'm going to pay you for nursing. Listen, whatever he needs, you ask for it. Whatever he needs, amen, that you may nurse him properly, we'll get that. But after that, glory to God, the net, I'm going to give you your wages for taking care of this child. Now, here is a Hebrew mother in slavery that's getting paid for doing something she would have done anyway. God used the enemy to do it. Had she not released Moses, had she had so much love that she would have just kept him and held him and hid him in the house or whatever, had she did that, she would not have gotten the opportunity that she has now. But because she released him by faith, glory to God, look at the plan of God that was already in place. God was just standing back waiting to see if she was going to release him. And the plan took place right after she did it. God has got a plan for you, my brothers, my sisters. He's got a plan for you. And it is being orchestrated even as I speak. All you got to do is give him the praise and release whatever God is telling you to release, be it spiritual, physically, or financially. Release it and let God deal with it. Put it in his hands. And I guarantee you, He won't let you down. My time is gone. Join us next week. Amen. We're going to be talking about something that took us about 2 hours to talk about last night, and it was wonderful. Hopefully you will. P.O. Box 492, Coryell, Georgia, 31010. That's our address. Sit down, take a moment, and drop a line and of a word of testimony, and let me hear from you, and watch the blessings even come because of your obedience. Till our next broadcast, God bless you and keep you is my prayer.